Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study Galatians chapter 4, we were talking about Paul's rebuke to the Christians that felt that they need to follow the law. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
You know, sometimes you have somebody, it might be a pastor, it could be a music director, it could be a Sunday school teacher, or somebody else that has their heart set on one thing, and boy, if somebody ever crosses that, boy, I tell you, they are after them. And so he says, ye that desire to be under the law. This is an ongoing thing with them, and now it's getting pretty strong. There are boys who would like to play professional baseball someday. It might be baseball, it could be football, it could be basketball, but they want to play professionally. But then there are those who work, and they go out, and they go all out to try to attain that level. And they may not reach it. But it is a continual thought, a continual pursuit. So the command is, tell me. But to make it specific, since all the church isn't like that, he says, ye, the desire to be under the law. So somehow Satan has gotten into this church, and he has tried to affect specific people. And so the Judaizers have reached specific people in the church, and now they're thinking, you know what, this is what we need. Evidently, we need this. And perhaps they've been somehow or another encouraged, or you might say impressed, with the academic knowledge of some of these that have come in, of the Judaizers, and say, oh boy, look at them. They must be right, and they're so good and so holy. And yet Jesus doesn't have a whole lot of good to say about him when he was on earth. And now, here later in the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul's ink pen is telling him the same thing, is that, no, don't follow them. So, he is specifically addressing those that have been affected by the Judaizers. And so he asks them, do you not hear the law? In our text, verse 21, do you not hear the law? That's a good question to ask them. Think of this as we regard this question as we look at Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. These are people that desire to be under the law, or to have the law somehow included in their salvation. So he says, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? And with that question, think of Romans 3:19 and 20. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, the problem in the Old Testament is that there were those that were Jews that had made a profession of faith in Christ. But now, they're also placing their faith in the sacrifices and ceremonies, because they didn't like really being rejected by the Jewish community. And so they start placing a lot of faith in the sacrifices and ceremonies themselves rather than the person that they symbolize. So instead of the one they symbolize, they just simply make those the object of their faith. And that's where the problem comes in like manner. We see many who place their faith today in the fact that they got baptized, or they said the right words in prayer, but they did not have the life-changing belief. As seen in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Think of Thomas after the resurrection in John 20. You remember the story there? Thomas wasn't there at the first time Jesus meets with him in that upper room. They tell him about it. He says, lest I see the scars in his hands and put my hand into the side where he was wounded and they thrust that spear in his side, I won't believe. Well, very next week, next Sunday, Jesus appears again. Thomas wasn't in church on Sunday. Boy, he missed a lot of that Sunday night. You miss church Sunday night, there's a lot you can miss. Well, Thomas missed, and then there's Jesus. And he looks at him and says, hey, put your hand in my hand in my side. And Thomas didn't have to do it. Instead, he falls on his knees and he says, my Lord. And my God. There he realized the proper place of Christ and belief in his person. When we go to Israel, and I've made several trips over there now, and the guide that I like to use is a Jewish man who probably knows Scripture better than a lot of our own people know the Scripture better than a lot of preachers know the Scripture. But it's interesting when he discusses Isaiah chapter 53 and Psalms 22 when we're in the Hall of Judgment. And he has made the statement that Jesus is obviously that man listed in Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. He says there's no doubt in his mind that that is speaking of Jesus Christ. And he says that without apology, you know, he believes that's who it is. But he does not believe that Jesus Christ was God come in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. So, he could not say the same thing as Thomas, my Lord and my God. Now, the Old and New Testament, God likens the personal relationship to him on the same level of a marriage commitment. Now, today we live in a time of too many are trying to bring people to a decision that is no greater than joining a club or saying some kind of an incantation or thing that helps you to join a club. Oh no, this is far more than that. Jesus is Lord and God. Now, I was listening recently to a Jewish lady give her testimony. And she had been raised in many of the Jewish traditions. She knew the prayer, the bar mitzvah, and on down the line she knew all about it. But she was also living in adultery by just moving in and not being married to the man. When she was first witnessed to about her soul, she said, I'm a Jew. We are God's chosen race. We'd go to heaven when we die unless we do something really bad like murder. Well, of course, that's a Calvinistic attitude that was held by many of the Jews in that day, and so also in the early church era of the Catholic Church, that Augustine also held to that. And matter of fact, Calvin, who would come later, much later, said that he took much of what he believed from Augustine. So it went from the Jew to the Catholic Church to Calvin. Now, if we look in verse 22, though, as we continue here, he says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman." Now, keep it in mind that they were desiring to be under the law. And so he's trying to use these things to explain to them what they're asking for, because it's obvious they simply don't understand. So after laying out this question, verse 21, he begins to address about the two sons of Abraham. And it is of utmost importance that we see the distinction that is made between a bondmaid and a free woman. Now, the two sons had the same father, but different mothers. Because of that, they were completely different. Sarah made the choice that could be made by a married woman who had no children. That is, to give her handmaid to her husband to bear children in her name. Now, the husband could not make the choice himself. Only the wife could, but then it was up to him to agree to it. Now, what was going on here is that Sarah was losing faith in God's promise due to her age. I think I would understand that. You know, I mean, here's a lady that... It's 75, but she's probably thinking, "You think I'm going to have any more children? I'm going to have a child? Do you think that's going to happen?" And so she's probably thinking, no, that's not going to happen. So she gave Hagar, her handmaid, to Abraham to raise up seed. But she, Hagar, is the wrong receptacle for the seed. She's not the chosen receptacle. Sarah is. So this is not of God. Rather, it is in the human mind trying to do the will of God in the wisdom of the flesh. And that, my friend, always, always fails. You see, what happened is that her faith waned in the original promise. And that's what always takes us down. I think of a college some time ago that did not have money to repair or fix things up. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, "May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today."
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, "May God's peace be with all
that are in Christ Jesus.